when people want to use their talents for the Lord, amen? And recognizing that God has given us talents and abilities, and we are to use those for His honor and for His glory, and it is a real blessing, and we're very thankful for it. And Jeremiah chapter 26 this evening, I'll be looking at a passage of Scripture here, and I mentioned to you at the end of the service this morning before we were dismissed that I would be preaching from this passage of Scripture this evening, and I said this, that the book of Jeremiah is an exciting book, and it really is. And you read through the book of Jeremiah, and it is a powerful book. It's filled with all sorts of exciting events that take place, and we find that there are many valuable lessons that we can learn as we study the book of Jeremiah. We understand that the book is lengthy, and it covers some of really what I would consider the very sad days for the nation of Judah specifically. And you think about Judah's history, and you think about some of the events that are recorded within the book of Jeremiah, and of course there are sad events. He had prophesied regularly with regard to the Babylonian captivity. In fact, he could see how that they had laid siege against the city already, and during that time of prophecy, he had made known to the nation of Judah that there would be a 70-year captivity, and then a remnant would return. And what a blessing to see that truth within the book and even within the prophecy. And we come here this evening as we look at this particular passage. I said to somebody this morning, it'd be exciting to preach through the entire book of Jeremiah, and maybe someday the Lord will allow me to do that. And this evening, however, we're just going to look at chapter 26. And but this particular account, this passage of Scripture, it gives us the idea of where we are historically for the nation of Judah. Notice in verse number 1, it says, "In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying..." And so we'd find that he is, Jeremiah, the prophet, is prophesying during this particular era and this time. He had the privilege, Jeremiah did, to prophesy and to minister to Judah during the latter half of Josiah's reign as king. Now, if you know anything about King Josiah, you understand that there was great revival that took place under his time as king of Judah. And what a blessing as you would begin to read the portions of Scripture. It is in that passage when they go to clean out the house of the Lord and they find the book of the law and they're excited about it. And man, we find that Josiah hears the reading of the Word of God and he responds properly and God blesses. And they have revival. It's exciting to read about the days of Josiah's reign as king of Judah. But we find that, of course, Josiah dies. And after Josiah dies, the Bible tells us that his son, Jehoahaz, reigned. Now, Jehoahaz only reigned for about 3 months. And the Bible tells us that he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then we read that after Jehoahaz, after those 3 months, that the son of Josiah, Jehoiakim, he then ascends the throne. He will reign for 11 years. We find that the Bible tells us that he also did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. In fact, if you were to go back, and you don't need to turn there, but if you were to go back to the latter part of the book of 2 Chronicles, and you were to look at the history of Judah's history as it's recorded there, we find that in chapter number 36, it covers about 22 and a half years of time. And you see that there are several kings, and you find that during that time that they're carried away into captivity, and it ends, of course, with the decree of Cyrus, which ends that 70-year captivity. But we'd find that as we would begin to look at this passage that is before us this evening, and we would consider that it was during that beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, as it's mentioned here in chapter number 26 and verse number 1, as I mentioned this morning, it is this same Jehoiakim who in just a few years... Now, Jeremiah's prophecies, let me make this side note, parentheses if I will. The prophecies within the book of Jeremiah are not necessarily chronologically in order. We find that often the particular chapters will help us understand the particular king that's reigning and what's going on during that time and what have you. But we find that in the fourth year of King Jehoiakim, that he would burn that scroll when Jeremiah would go to him. And we find that that is recorded in Jeremiah 36. And so just a little bit of some information for you, historically speaking, so that we can get the setting of Jeremiah 26 and get the setting of this prophecy to find out exactly what's going on. Josiah has died. His son Jehoahaz did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He reigned just for 3 months. He is dead as well. And then Jehoiakim ascends the throne, and he also will do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. As we break down the passage of Scripture, let's read verse number 2. I'll give you the title. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word." I'm going to preach a message that I've simply entitled from that phrase at the end of verse number 2, "Diminish not a word." God gave Jeremiah a message that was to be delivered. According to verse number 2, he was to stand in the court of the Lord's house, and he was to speak unto all the cities of Judah which would come to worship in the Lord's house. And God would give this man, Jeremiah, his prophet, he would give him a message to deliver to these people. And God tells Jeremiah, "Diminish not a word." We find that every word of God is important, and we would look, even as we've had really as a theme throughout the day today, dealing with bibliology in our Sunday school hour and looking at the passage in Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13 with regard to God's Word. And we find here this evening that Jeremiah would deliver this message, this prophecy to the people of God, and God tells them that they need to have all of the message, and that he was to diminish not a word. If we're to look at this passage and break it down, I'll provide for, if you're taking notes, an outline, number one, in your notes this evening. Notice this, that Jeremiah is faithful. In verses 1 through 8, I believe that we find recorded and revealed to us the faithfulness of Jeremiah. They understand that he's ministering, he is serving God during a difficult time in Israel's history, in Judah's history in particular. And we think about that difficult day in which many were going against what God's Word was saying and what the prophets were prophesying. And we find that Jeremiah, however, was a faithful servant of the Lord. The prophecy continues in verse number 3. Here's what he says as we consider God's command to Jeremiah. He tells him what it is that he wants him to deliver. Notice in verse 3, "If so be, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me to walk in my law which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth." Notice, as we look at God's command to Jeremiah here in these first few verses of Scripture, we see that within the command that God gives him, the content of that message which he is to deliver, and we find that it's really he's calling them to repentance, that they would amend their ways, and we find that repeated throughout the book of Jeremiah. And we notice here that God specifically says that if you will not hearken in verse number 4, here are what the consequences will be. And these consequences are the result of their evil doings, according to verse number 3. And he says this in verse 6, "Then will I make this house like Shiloh." Then, if you do not amend your ways, if you do not hearken to my words, if you do not walk in my law, which I have set before you, if you will not hearken, then I will make this house like Shiloh and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. Now, this subject matter of this message that he would make, God would make this house like Shiloh, did not sit well with the people. As we would look and we'll get through the text of Scripture and we'll see the response of the people, but you understand the content of this message and you see what God is saying here in verse number 6 with regard to the destruction that would come and that he would make it like Shiloh. Now, Shiloh was a city in Ephraim. It was a city that was up in Israel proper as far as the northern kingdom, if you will. Turn back to Jeremiah 7, and I want you to notice what God tells us here in this passage of Scripture in Jeremiah chapter number 7. Now we find that throughout the book, in the third chapter in particular of the book of Jeremiah, God is giving a comparison, a contrast, if you will, between Israel and Judah, and God is calling Judah to repentance, and he's really encouraging them to learn from what happened to Israel. Israel at this time had already been taken captive by the Assyrians. Historically speaking, the Assyrians had already carried Israel away into captivity. Of course, it was during the reign of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, in which the Assyrians also sought to take Judah captive. But God intervened and God worked miraculously. Why? Because Hezekiah sought the face of God and he went to Isaiah the prophet, and we find what great prophecy that is given there. And we find that Hezekiah, he took that letter and he laid it out before the Lord and he prayed and God worked and God moved. And so Judah was spared the captivity of the Assyrians, but we find that they did not learn that which they were supposed to learn. We look at that in chapter 3, but look in chapter number 7 and pick it up with me in verse number, really we could read the whole thing, but look at verse number 12. He says, "But go ye now unto my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but you answered not, therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh." Now, Shiloh is an interesting place. It was there in Ephraim, as I mentioned. It was the temporary home of the Ark of the Covenant and also the tabernacle. And it's almost as if the people of Israel had this idea that because it was the temporary home of the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle, that somehow they would be immune to the judgment of God. Oh, how they were wrong. But here was what the big problem was for Judah. They thought, man, the temple is here in Jerusalem, and therefore we're not going to suffer this kind of judgment. And God is saying to them, I'm going to make this place like Shiloh. And he gives, as we go back to chapter number 7, and we begin to see what's happening here, he tells them that this is what happened to Shiloh because of the wickedness of my people Israel. And then he says, I've spoken to you, I've called, I've given you opportunity, and you've not responded, and therefore this is what's going to happen. And he's going to do as he did to Shiloh. And we find that that's the content of the message in which Jeremiah is preaching in Jeremiah chapter number 26. Jeremiah was obedient to the command of the Lord. He preached exactly what God told him to preach. He diminished not a word from that message which he delivered. As you go back to Jeremiah 26, you find in verse number 7 that the Bible says, "So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord." He went to the place where God told him to go, and he preached the message that God told him to preach. He was faithful. And faithfulness is to be commended. We find that our God is faithful. By the way, aren't you thankful that God is faithful? And he is faithful, he's dependable, he's trustworthy, but we find that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, right? And we find that in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 2. And we find that here, as we would look at the faithfulness of Jeremiah, the Bible tells us that the priests and the prophets and the people, according to verse number 7, they heard these words. Notice in verse number 8, the beginning portion of this verse, the Bible says it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, "Thou shalt surely die." That's the way you want everyone to respond to your message, amen? And how encouraging that is. But we find, as we're looking here, we would consider the faithfulness of Jeremiah, that they heard, according to verse number 7, those words, and according to verse number 8, that Jeremiah, it says that he was speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak. God said to Jeremiah, "I have a message. And I have this message that I want to deliver to these people at this place. Jeremiah, diminish not a word." Can I tell you that the message that Jeremiah was called to deliver wasn't necessarily an exciting message to deliver? Right? It's not a message that you find that, man, this is a fun message to preach. This isn't a message that that perhaps he expected to have some great response. But yet he had a responsibility to preach that which God had called him to preach. See, the people had already given, throughout the ministry of Jeremiah, they've already given just the response to his messages and to the message of the Lord. They've rebelled against what God has said, but we find here that Jeremiah was faithful. Not only was Jeremiah faithful, as we continue through the text of Scripture, and really the latter part of verse number 8 down through verse number 15, if you're taking notes, notice, secondly, that Jeremiah is fearless. He's faithful and he's fearless. The Bible tells us at the end of verse number 8, as I've read the verse to you already, that the people, they say, "Thou shalt surely die." Now, I'll tell you, no one's ever told me that after I preach a message, and I'm actually thankful that that's the case. However, these people were serious. "Thou shalt surely die." Die. Notice the response of the people. We notice Jeremiah that he is fearless, but notice how they respond. There in verse number 8, they say that "thou shalt surely die." Continuing in verse number 9, "Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant?" And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Isn't it amazing how they responded to the message? I mentioned this morning, as we're speaking about the inspiration and preservation of Scripture, that when we understand the inspiration of Scripture, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that it is God's Word, that it shows that the Word of God is authoritative. The problem that these people had was with God, not with Jeremiah. Amen? Their problem was, and really their problem was a result of their sin. It was a heart problem. It was their own wickedness and their own rebellion and the fact that they would not obey that which God had given them. God was faithful to give them a message. God was faithful to give them the word, but yet they hardened their hearts. They rebelled. They would not hear. And we find that then, as the prophet of God, as Jeremiah comes and he delivers the word of the Lord, that now they're angry with the man of God. They're angry with Jeremiah. "Ye shall surely die." All the people were gathered against Jeremiah. The Bible continues in verse number 10, "When the princes of Judah heard these things, then they came up from the king's house into the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house." This caused a stir. Amen. This is a big deal. Verse number 11, "Then spake the priest and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die." Speaking of Jeremiah, "Why? For he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears." They heard the message. They did not respond in belief, in faith. They did not respond with repentance. I'm mindful of the people that Jonah was called to go and preach to. As he arrives in Nineveh and he preaches that message is recorded in Jonah chapter number 3. I mean, he was preaching with a level of passion after everything that happened in chapter 1 and chapter number 2. But we find that he comes to chapter number 3 as the Bible would record to us. And he says, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. How'd they respond? In sackcloth and ashes from the king all the way down. We find here that these people that Jeremiah was called to minister to, that they responded with anger toward the messenger. They're mad at the man of God. You know, Jeremiah was faithful. Can I tell you this evening that there are times in which we can faithfully follow God and cause people to get mad at us? In fact, the more that we faithfully follow God, probably the more people that are going to get angry with us. You say, Pastor, you're encouraging us tonight. I'm trying, amen? But the reality is that, listen, we live in a time in which they will not endure sound doctrine. We understand that from 2 Timothy 4. And we're called yet to not diminish a word, to preach the whole counsel of God, to give the truth that God has given within His Word. And here, for these people, in this particular occasion, in the first year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the message was given that God would cause this place, this city, to be a Shiloh. The people got angry. They responded with anger and determination to get rid of the prophet. By the way, by killing Jeremiah, they're really not going to solve their problem. Right? And that's just, you know, you can silence the voice of the individual that you don't like what they're saying, but you still have a problem. And here we find that even as we notice that Jeremiah is faithful and Jeremiah is fearless, we find the response of the people. But look in verses 12 through 15 and see the courage of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he reminds them that it was God Almighty that sent him. Isn't it good when we know that we've been sent by God? He told us that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He told us that we're His ambassadors, that we are His witnesses, and He's given us a message to deliver. In verse number 12, then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Jeremiah says, you need to understand something. Your problem's not with me. God sent me. God sent me to deliver this message. God sent me to bring the message that you've heard on this day and that you've responded to with a hard heart, with a determination to kill Jeremiah. And he says that he reminds them that it was God Almighty that sent him. By the way, we find that he then calls them to repentance once again, in verse number 13. Therefore, now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God. And the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. We find that Jeremiah, as we look at his courage, we say that he was fearless, he was courageous, he stood before these that said already, thou shalt surely die. They were against him. They said that this man, he is worthy to die. Jeremiah says, let me remind you of a few things. Number one, God sent me. Number two, you need to amend your ways. You need to obey the voice of the Lord. It reminds me, as I'm looking at the passage of Scripture, and we're considering even what we're dealing with this morning and looking at the truth in Hebrews 4 and looking at the description of the Word of God and how God was using His Word here that Jeremiah would preach. He was using that quick, that living Word. He was using that sword, right? And He was piercing in the hearts of those people. They're responding with anger and resentment. He's worthy to die. But Jeremiah stands in boldness and courage and without any fear, it seems, in verse number 14, as we look and continue, that in these verses of Scripture, basically he says, hey, listen, you can do with me what you want. Look at verse 14. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But then look at these words. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. By killing Jeremiah, nothing would be solved. In fact, they would just add one more charge to their account. He says that you would, if you put me to death, you shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves, upon the city, and upon the inhabitants thereof. See, as believers, if I could make application this evening from what we're looking at in this, we'll finish up the next several verses we get through this evening, but as we pause here and begin to make application, as believers, we are called to be salt and light. We are called to deliver a message. Not a message that is diminished from, but a message that is wholesome, a message that is pure, that is from God's Word. And we live in the midst of a people, and it's been this way for many, many generations in many, many places around the world, where they would like to silence the voice of Christianity. You can read throughout the history of Christianity, to use that term, speaking of Bible-believing, those that would follow the Lord Jesus Christ, Bible-believing followers of the truth that we look at in the Word of God. We find that these folks have been martyred. You can look at the way in which they tried to silence. Look in the book of Acts. What was their response? What did they do to Stephen? They stoned him to kill him, right? What did they threaten Peter and John and the others? They were threatening them, and you can't speak his name anymore. Why? Because they were cut to the heart. I believe this evening that we live in a time in which they are consistently, constantly working the evil, the enemy. And it's not some group of people, it is Satan himself that is, remember, it's a spiritual battle. It's not a cultural war that we're in, it is a spiritual war that we're engaged in. And the enemy is Satan himself, and he is seeking to silence the people of God. He's seeking to use whatever tactic he possibly can, including up to threatening of our own liberties, and our own freedoms, and even our own lives. We find that Jeremiah stands before these people with a level of courage that we need today. To be able to stand, just as we read in Acts chapter number 5 this morning, when Peter stood up and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Jeremiah stands before this same group of people that said, ye shall surely die. He is worthy to die. Jeremiah says, understand something. Know ye for certain. You can do with me what you want. You can kill me if you'd like, but it's not going to change your situation. And really, it is the grace of God. It is the very grace of God that He would keep His people here to preach a message to a lost and dying world. Is it not? It's God's grace. It's God's mercy that He leaves a witness. He leaves a testimony. We find here that Jeremiah, he's faithful. Jeremiah is fearless. Finally, this evening, as we look at verses 16 through 24, notice that Jeremiah is freed. These people are bent against him. These that heard this message that Jeremiah delivered in obedience to the command of the Lord, they are bent against him. They are determined that they would kill him. And yet we find that Jeremiah stands with boldness and courage, and he's fearless, and then he is freed. Throughout the book of Jeremiah, it's interesting, as you were to read throughout the book of Jeremiah, you will find on a number of occasions that God supernaturally delivers His servant. See, protection, safety, is of the Lord. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us? Safety is of the Lord. Remember, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who what? Made heaven and earth. How did He make heaven and earth? Let there be light. He spoke it into existence. He's God. He's the creator. Hezekiah, when he prays to God during that time when the Assyrians thought that they too would take Judah captive, and Sennacherib and Rabshakeh and those guys are all against Hezekiah and saying, listen, what makes you different than any of the other nations that we've conquered? I mean, look at our record. We've conquered nation after nation, and their gods weren't able to deliver. That's because they were God's little g. They were false gods. They were idols. But Hezekiah and the people of Judah served the Lord God Almighty. And if you look at what Hezekiah, he prays to God as the creator. And he prays understanding the power of God. Jeremiah, in just a little while, he'll pray understanding that God is the creator. That passage of scripture where God tells Jeremiah to buy the field. What a great study, by the way. Why am I going to buy a field when the whole thing's going to be taken captive? Because there's a remnant that's going to return. Oh, it's awesome. But we find that we understand this evening that we serve the Lord God Almighty, and that safety is of the Lord. And Jeremiah is freed. Again, there are a variety of examples throughout the book of Jeremiah how that God delivers his servant. God works and God blesses. In this particular account, we find that God's protection comes through the defense that is offered from the princes and the people. In verse number 16, the Bible says, "Then said the princes and all the people unto the priest and to the prophets." By the way, isn't it interesting that the priests and the prophets were the ones that wanted to kill the man of God? Just shake your head, right? "This man is not worthy to die." That's what the princes and the people said. "For he hath spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God." Then rose up certain of the elders of the land and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying... In verses 18 through 23, it's kind of interesting as we would look at the defense that is offered and we look at the argument, if you will, that is given. And really what happens is there are two examples that are provided from history. The first example is recorded for us in verses 18 and 19, and it really deals with Hezekiah, and we'll look at it in just a moment. This was roughly 100 years prior to what we're dealing with this evening in this passage of Scripture. And these folks that are coming that God would use to provide the defense and the protection for his servant, we find that they reference this example from history that took place roughly 100 years earlier. So they're going to speak about a lesson from history. They then deal with a second account in verses 20 through 23, and it's interesting because it would be one that was a recent example. It was one about Jehoiakim himself. Right there during the early part of his reign and some of that which he did. And we notice that God would use these that stood up, these elders of the land, as it says in verse number 17, as they would speak to the people, and God would use these examples from history. We ought to pause this evening and thank God and rejoice in the protection that he offers. Our God works in miraculous ways. The first example that is given in verses 18 and 19, the Bible says, "Micah the Morathite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah. And here's what he prophesied. He spake to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house of the high places of a desert." Notice this. Look at the question in verse number 19. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him at all to death? Did they respond to the prophet? Did they respond to the message in the way that you're entertaining to respond to this which Jeremiah has preached? You're saying, Jeremiah, he's worthy of death. Let's kill him. But let's look at this example from history. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah and all Judah, put him at all to death? Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord? The Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them. Thus might we procure great evil against our souls. As we look at the example in verses 18 and 19, they'd speak of Hezekiah and how he responded with humility. He did not respond and repentance. He did not respond in the manner in which these individuals were seeking to respond by simply putting the man of God to death. He says in verse number 20, "And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord." Verse 20 begins that second example from history, one that was a very recent example of something that had taken place. And it says here that there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shemei of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. So this man, Urijah, he was a counterpart to Jeremiah. He also was a prophet that prophesied a true message from the Lord. And we find that as this man Urijah prophesied, that it tells us that when Jehoiakim the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes, heard his words, what did the king do? He sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. He sought refuge because he understood that the king, Jehoiakim, was ready to put him to death. In verse number 22, the Bible says that Jehoiakim the king sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and certain men with him into Egypt, and they fetched him, fetched forth Urijah out of Egypt, brought him unto Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. So they use two examples from history. Are they not great contrast? One, Hezekiah. He heard the prophet Micah that came and prophesied, and we find that the response was a response of humility and repentance, and we find that God delivered them. And we can read, as I've mentioned already several times this evening, about the life and ministry of Hezekiah as he reigned over the nation of Judah, and how God miraculously delivered them, and how the Assyrians were destroyed. We find here with this man Urijah, he prophesied, and the king responded the same way that these people in chapter 26 of the book of Jeremiah wanted to respond to the message. Put him to death. Urijah flees. And Jehoiakim was so bent on seeing this prophet put to death that he sent and fetched him out of Egypt. And when he came, the Bible tells us that not only did he slay him with a sword, but he cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. So these elders, as the Bible tells us in verse number 17, they speak unto the assembly of the people. They say, the princes and the people in verse 16, that this man is not worthy to die. And then these men, they stand up, they begin to speak of these historical accounts, and we find that it was God that would use these two accounts, these two references, to provide deliverance for his servant, and Jeremiah is freed. We find in verse number 24 that God would use Ahiakim. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, the hand of Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death." Now, this man, Ahiakim, was a counselor to King Josiah. We had mentioned already, by way of introduction this evening, about the time in which Jeremiah served the Lord as he prophesied. And during part of that time, we find that Jeremiah was prophesying during the reign of Josiah. Now, Josiah reigned for a lengthy period of time, 31 years, and we find that Jeremiah only prophesied during the latter part, the last 15 or 16 years of Josiah's reign as king. But we find that Ahiakim, according to what we'd read over in 2 Kings chapter number 22, that he, Ahiakim, was one of those that Josiah sent to find out about the writing that they read when they found the book of the law of the Lord. We find that this man, no doubt, there was some relationship and some understanding between him and Jeremiah, and God would use him. The Bible says, "Nevertheless, the hand of Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah." He used whatever influence and power that he would have had in order to provide this protection and deliverance for Jeremiah. But we understand this evening that deliverance, safety, again, is of the Lord. And God used these individuals that stood up and spoke up and said something in order to work through that. And again, as you study the book of Jeremiah, you find that there are just a variety of examples of how God would provide deliverance for His servant. I'm mindful As you take your Bible and turn to the New Testament, as we wrap up this evening, I almost said this morning, I'm ready to just keep on going, amen? And turn back, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, or as we look at a New Testament principle, and understand the deliverance of the Lord. Listen, as we serve God, as we are faithful to do what God has called us to do, we must have courage. Be fearless as Jeremiah was fearless. That we would stand in the presence of those that would be filled with disdain for our message. They would be filled with hatred for our person even. And we would stand with boldness and courage. By the way, that's not something that we just conjure up on our own. That's a work of the Holy Spirit of God. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. As we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we understand that we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God, but as we are filled with the power of God, the Bible tells us that the believers in Acts chapter number 4, when they were threatened and all that was taking place, they prayed that they would speak thy word with boldness, the Bible tells us. And after they prayed, the Bible tells us that that the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were filled with the Spirit of God and they spake the word with boldness. The boldness and courage is not something that we just muster up in of ourselves. It is something that God gives us as we're surrendered to Him and knowing that we're doing the work that He's called us to do. But we must understand this. There's going to be opposition. You know that the majority of people don't like the message that you would preach? They don't like the message that I preach. They don't like it. They don't want it. They want to heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. Amen? That's what they want. But what they need is what this book says. The people in Jeremiah chapter number 26, they needed the message that Jeremiah delivered. They needed to understand that destruction was coming because of their evil, wicked behavior. They needed to understand that. They didn't need somebody to come and say, oh, everything's going to be okay. I mean, just keep whatever you want to do. Isn't that the world we live in today? It doesn't help anybody. It really doesn't. If somebody's sick, I know, Doc, you don't practice anymore, but if somebody's sick and they come to the doctor and they need some medicine, you know, there's a real problem, there's a real situation, there's something that is going to take the life of this patient, you don't just say, oh, you know what, you're going to be fine. Just keep doing what you're doing. No, you're going to treat them accordingly, and you're going to understand what's going on. We speak about spiritual things. We just pat people on the back because we want to be politically correct and say, well, you just do what you want, live how you want, everything's going to be okay. It's not. Have you read Revelation 20? It's not going to be okay. Amen? And we have a responsibility, and we must understand that people are going to oppose us, but we stand with courage and boldness, understanding that God will deliver us. Jeremiah was freed. Look at what it says in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. Now, Paul's the one writing, right? Did Paul suffer? Good night. It's amazing to me that in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, he calls them a light affliction, those things which he endured. But for a moment, and I'm thinking, I've read the life of Paul. I've studied the Word of God, and I've read what he's endured and what he's gone through. But in light of eternity, it was just a light affliction that was just but for a moment. And he says that these persecutions, notice, persecution afflictions, he talks about where he suffered them. We'd look at this text of Scripture specifically, the references that he makes on that first missionary journey. Went into the region of Galatia, as he's speaking about. And he talks about out of these persecutions which he endured, notice, but out of them, what's the next word in your Bible say? All? Is that what it says? But out of them all. I had a Bible college professor. He's a really smart man. He said, all means all, and that's all that all means. That's very profound, I know. You remember Dr. Bish? He said it often. It was just a phrase that he always used. All means all, and that's all that all means. So here when Paul, he's writing, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. The Lord delivered me. He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we notice as we look at this passage of Scripture and think about the account that we read in Jeremiah 26 and bring to light and make application for our own lives, listen, there are going to be some hardships that we have to endure. But our God is faithful. And can I tell you this evening, here's what people, I believe, sometimes trip up on. Well, Paul says that God delivered them out of all of them, but what about, and they start naming people that died, that were martyred. Can I tell you that means I'm with Jesus? Amen? You understand that, right? D.L. Moody. I wish I could have met D.L. Moody. I live in a different era than him, but man, when you read about D.L. Moody, I wish I could have lived and met D.L. Moody. He was just a man that walked with God. He was a man that had a passion for souls. He understood the truth of eternity, the need for mankind to be saved. And he had a heart to reach people. And D.L. Moody, I believe that it happened on more than one occasion, but on one particular occasion, a man held a gun right to D.L. Moody and threatened to take his life. You know why he did this? Because D.L. Moody was preaching the gospel to him. The guy didn't like it. And the guy pulls out a gun and holds it right in D.L. Moody's chest. You know what D.L. Moody responded? You can't threaten me with heaven. Isn't that awesome? I'm telling you, that is awesome. To have that kind of courage and confidence in knowing that heaven is our home, that as I would go and deliver a message that I could understand. Listen, if I lose my life, and I'm not standing up here saying I want to become a martyr, but if I lose my life, I go into the, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. Is that what the Bible tells us? Amen. Amen. So guess what? I can be delivered through death. Amen. By the way, that's the ultimate deliverance, isn't it? It's the ultimate deliverance. And so we have this idea as we look at the Bible and begin to search and dig into the Scriptures, and we say, man, look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah served the same God that we serve. You know something that's amazing? Is that we have 100% of the time the Holy Spirit of God. Because after Jesus went to the cross, was buried, rose again, ascended up to heaven, then his people are indwelled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? I have the Holy Spirit of God. I can go in the boldness and power of God's Spirit to go and preach the word that God's given us to preach. But how often in my own life, and I'll just speak for myself, I look at the life and ministry of Jeremiah, I say, man, I wish I had that kind of boldness. I wish I had that kind of courage. I wish I would stand and be as faithful as God's called me to be as faithful as he was, to have that level of being fearless, of having courage and boldness. We see that he was freed. He served God faithfully. It's not the end of Jeremiah's life. There's many more examples. You can go through the book of Jeremiah. Again, what an exciting book that records such great history. Oh, some very sad days for the nation of Judah, but how exciting it is to see God use his servants. As we think about this passage of Scripture this evening, really two thoughts. Number one, I hope that you'd be encouraged by studying the life of Jeremiah. Say, man, that's exciting. To see how God worked and to see what God did. But then, oh, that we'd be challenged to say, God, would you use me? God, I just want to be faithful. I just want to obey you and do what you've called me to do. And God, I believe that you can use me because you use people. God, I just want to be a vessel fit for the Master's use. And God, use me to impact eternity. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God, the truth that's contained therein. Lord, I pray that this evening we've been encouraged as we've studied this account from Jeremiah's life. But more than being encouraged by studying this passage, I pray that we've each been challenged, God, in our own walk with Thee. and our level of commitment and faithfulness to thy commands. Lord, help us to believe you. Help us to believe that you'll actually use us as we go forth and preach your word. That your word indeed is it's effective. It's a living book. It's a powerful book. Diminish not a word is what you told Jeremiah. God, I pray that you'd help us to go with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the power of the Word of God. We know that we'll face opposition, but how we'll rejoice in your protection and to see how you would use us to impact a lost and dying world. Give us a passion, a burden. I pray that you'd move the hearts of your people as only you can. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me?